How is everybody? Everybody good? Awesome. So we've been, we're about almost exactly halfway through, we've been going through the book of Philippians chapter by chapter, and we're spending about 2 weeks on each chapter, which does not exhaust it, I promise you. So anyways, that's the time we're giving though. Mark started us off with 2 weeks in chapter one. This is the second week in chapter two. So I started last week and went verses 1 through 11, and today I'm going to hit 12 through 30. Now that's a lot of text, and I'm just going to say right off the bat, there's like verses 12 through 18 really focus on what it means to shine like stars and to have the conviction of the finished work in your life. And then 19 through 30 focuses on a couple of individuals. Paul brings up Timothy, who basically is the mentee of Paul. He carries on the apostolic work. And also Epaphroditus, which is a connection piece in the Philippian church. He was sent to Paul. And so I'm not going to be able to go into all of that with the time that I have today. I'm going to really just focus on the first few verses. But what kind of pastor would I be if I didn't tell you to go read it yourself? All right. So that's my encouragement to you. So I'm going to use what time I have. I feel like the Holy Spirit's really settled my heart on something in particular that's going to hang especially on a couple of verses. So I'll start there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work was not useless. Okay, so I'm going to pull something out of the first verse here, out of verse 12, and it's in the second half of that verse, Philippians 2:12, B is work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. So this, as I've done some study and whatnot, I was looking at the original language in this, and I'm actually going to kind of switch to the NIV version, which is the version that I'm most accustomed with, because word for word, it kind of translated that a little more from what I pulled out in my study. And that's it. So Philippians 2:12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So I want to hit this dead on today, because I think that this is a statement that can bring some confusion or unclear, because last I checked, we are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves, right? In fact, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. All right, so it's by grace through faith that we are saved. However, the instruction here, work out your salvation, is very much a works word. Okay, it's an instruction that has to do with works. When I read it in the NLT earlier, it says work hard to show the results of your salvation. So do you see where we can get some lack of clarity here? And to pin, okay, who does what? What is God doing? What is my response? So that's what I want to hash out today, all right? So the word that says work out your salvation, you know, I never try to pronounce these, but I'm just going to say it and I'll butcher it and we could be okay with it. Is that cool? Katergazomai. So, and it means to perform, accomplish, or achieve. To perform, accomplish, or achieve. To work fully, by implication, to finish or fashion. Okay, by implication, to finish. To render fit for something. To render fit for something. Okay, it's very much a works-based word. All right? To render fit for something. So here's what it's actually saying. We put all of that together. To work at something until it's completed. To work at something until it's completed. Okay, well, we still have this same challenge where, you know, in the context of this letter, we're reading in Philippians, right? There's a lot of context that comes up to this. And Philippians 1:6 said, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." So who is doing the work in you? God is doing the work in you, right? Christ is doing the work in you. So then, why the instruction to work hard? What are you actually completing? What are you finishing? Okay, he gives the key in the premise of everything that we've read up. So depending on how much you've paid attention in the last few weeks, this will be a lot easier to interpret. But he gives the key in all of the premise coming up, and also at the end of that verse where it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The other version said, deep reverence. So what Paul is speaking to is he is speaking to the position of your heart, as Andy loved to say, the posture of your heart, to receive what the saving work of God in your life, okay? Because what's the point of your salvation? The point of your salvation is to set you free and to redeem you. God wanted to redeem a people for himself, right? He wanted sons and daughters. And you know what? He wanted you to know what it's like to have a heavenly father. What a gift. What a gift. That's what he's doing. So how do you learn to do that? If he's doing all the work, last I checked, relationship takes two. Okay? So if he's doing the work, if he began the good work, if he brought salvation to your house, if he's spoken these things, if he's given you the word of life that can save you, then what's your part? What Paul is saying is like, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Work hard to show what that saving work has done in your life. How? With deep reverence, hanging on to every word he says. Okay? Whether you read it in your word, whether you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, whether a brother or sister encourages you, whatever it might be. But it's to take that and to say, okay, since I started believing, I came to a job that I've had, you know, my whole life. When I first started this job, I wasn't a believer. Now I'm a believer. Guess what? Your priorities at that job have changed. You don't just do your job now. You ask all the questions of, what is the Lord saying about this situation here? What is my responsibility here? Where do I bring hope? What does he want for this place? Now all of these things of like, is my paycheck showing up on time? Did I get enough done today? Those are lesser things. Have I established honor? What's the Lord saying in this? Or in a relationship? Has anybody, okay, this isn't it. This is, all of us at one point have picked and chosen the relationships that we want to reconcile and the ones we don't. The things that have happened in relationships that we want to reconcile and the ones we don't. And so there's a wisdom piece to that too. But has anybody been like me where you're like, you know what? This one I'll deal with because this relationship's worth it to me. This one, I don't care if I ever talk to them again. I know it sounds horrible, but right? Has anybody else thought it? Yes, right? As a believer, we don't get to do that so much anymore. Why? Because it's about his interests. Remember, last week we talked about an exchange, right? That the work of God in our lives brings an exchange where we give up our will for whose will? His will in our lives. It's an exchange. We give up our works, all our tireless effort, all of that stuff. What? So to be saved by grace, to receive what he has for us. Okay? So when he's saying work out your salvation, he's saying, you know, in this that comes up in your life, you don't get to pick and choose. At your job, at church on Sunday, in your social life, when you sleep, when you get up in the morning, what you do with your time, every little thing. And what is it? You listen to what he's saying to you and go into it. And then listen to what he's saying to you again and go into it. And keep going and keep listening in reverence and in fear. All right? It's giving all of the weight to his words. You know what happens? You know what's accomplished when you start doing that? You have a relationship with God. How has relationship gone with someone that you didn't have that kind of conversation with? Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say your spouse asks you to do something and you ignore them. Is that a positive effort towards your relationship? Thank you. I'm glad that some people saw that as obvious. Some people are probably thinking it's like, well, it could be, you know. That's how you build trust. How do you build deep relationship without trust? Can you? And how do you build trust without expectation? There will be some kind, whether it's thought of intentionally or not. That's how you build a relationship with God. When Paul is giving this instruction to say, work out your salvation, he's saying, bring it to completion. Like what God is doing, go in agreement with that saving work that he's doing in your life, in everything. He tells you to do something, agree. He tells you to do something, agree. He tells you to do something, agree. And here's what it looks like. It's like what happens to make it complete is that saving work in your life, I don't want to say that this is exactly the context that Jesus spoke about this in, but you know, Jesus told a parable of the yeast and the dough. Now, I've heard where this can mean a lot of different things, but I'm going to use it today because I think it's a fabulous illustration of this. So the saving work of God in our lives, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like this. You put a little bit of yeast in a big batch of dough, and then you work it, and 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 then eventually what happens? Spreads through the whole dough. What happens when you take the saving work of God? Remember, he's the one working in you, but you take it and you put your whole life into it. You're like, yes, I'm going to hang on to that word with everything I got. And you take that word and you work it 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 and you work it. What happens? It completely takes over the dough. A finished work. Okay? Our part was to receive the words that were spoken. Who's the one doing the work? God's doing the work. What is our part? To receive and to take it and do something with it. You know, when he says, be faithful with the word that was planted in you, saying, take it, believe it, work it, work it, work it. That's what it means. You know, in Ephesians 6:13, when it talks about the armor of God, it uses this same word. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, after you have done everything to stand, meaning after you faced every struggle, after you stood against every opposition, after you stood in faith, because again, what's the armor? A whole lot of, honestly, like, I believe this, I believe that. It's receiving the saving work of God in our lives. After you've done everything, what happens? You stand. Why? Because it was made complete in you. Do you see where I'm going with this? Like, you take what God is doing, that saving grace that's changing your life, that completely changed your life forever, but that is constantly saving you from the next thing too, and the next thing after that, and you work it and you work it until what? It works through the whole batch. And now your life is where you're like, you know what? There's no piece of my life that's unabandoned to God. Because I had to learn in the joy by hearing what he said, and that's how I handle my joy. And then in the hardship, this is what he said, and that's where I learned to handle that. And in the discomfort and in vulnerability and in generosity, in sharing, in kindness, I had to hear what he said and work it. Receive it with deep reverence. You know what that means? Like to give everything you have to that word. Why? Because of who he is. And then that trust that's built with God is not a trust of expectation of this is exactly what God's going to provide for me, though it could look like that. You know what it is? It's learning to trust his promises and his character in your life. You know, you could be like, oh man, I really need $500 this week. I'm going to trust God for $500 this week. You know what? Ask him. It says you don't have because you don't ask, right? Ask him. And at the same time, What if he doesn't give you that $500 that week? By taking the word and putting it into practice, you start believing the promises where you're like, you know what? Whether or not he gives me the $500, he will provide all my needs according to his glorious riches. Didn't look like what I thought, but you know what? I'm getting to know him more and more. Because why? Take one more step of letting it go to him. One more step. Until what? Until it's worked all through you. And now there's no place that the Lord has not touched in your life. How long do you think this takes? So if any of you were in a hurry, you could relax a little. Philippians 1:27. Again, he's been speaking about this through the whole book. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Okay, I'm going to try to give a really practical example or visual of what this means to have deep reverence for his words and to step out in faith. Okay? So in this bag, I have a glass canning jar. It's the size of a pint, okay, 16 ounce. Glass canning jar. Now, I believe that if I drop this, it will not break. Okay, two things that I should say about this. First of all, I am absolutely certain that underneath that carpet is a concrete slab. Okay? It is not padded. Secondly, I actually have never done this. I don't know if this, what's going to happen, all right? And I purposely did that because I'm going to find out, right? So does anybody get nervous with me just holding it up right before I drop it? Who thinks it's going to break? Who thinks it's not going to break? All right. Sounded like it broke to me. It's the reason I had a bag, just in case, right? Can I tell you, though, it doesn't matter if it broke or not, okay? Here, when I said, I believe that this will not break, that was my declaration of faith, okay? Now, what made my faith complete? Letting go. Letting go. That's what makes your faith complete. When you take the word that was planted in you and you say, yes, I'll do it. I'll let it go. There it is. That's what it means to have a deep reverence, to take those words and he's like, you know what? Forgive. Show kindness. And you're like, okay. Because not only did the things happen that that situation required, what happened to your relationship with God? You built trust. And when you build trust, you have something to go off of. You learn about his character. You learn how he shows up. How different would your life be if in all those places where you were challenged in faith, you let go? We'll never know. And again, how long does this take? If you're in a hurry, this is a learning lesson. This is a learning lesson. But the more we work it, we take his word, we take what he's saying. When Paul is saying, continue to work out your salvation, he is saying, like, have the faith that makes it complete. All right? Take the action. Let it go. He is working in you. Do you believe that he's working in you? How many have, repeat after me if you have the faith to say, God is committed to me. He's committed to finish the work in me. Let go. One step at a time. Because eventually, you work it, you work it, you work it, and then it's moved all throughout. Okay. You know who else makes a big point of this? That will tie back into this Philippians piece is James. James chapter 2. says in verse 14, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless." It's interesting to hear faith by itself isn't enough. I don't prefer that translation, I will say, when I hear that, but that's just my vulnerability. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by works, is dead. Why? Because I can tell you all day long what I believe, right? Can I also say that people say a lot of things that they think they believe, but until they go like this, I think we'd surprise ourselves at what we really believe. Not always. I can think of a lot of things that I've said that I'm like, oh, I believe that. And yet I was so scared to go like this. Why was I so scared if I really believed it? That's what makes it complete. Say, yes, I'll let go. I will exchange. I want to see something different. And you know what? It doesn't even have to be something of like, it can be so many things. You know, when we did that solar fundraiser a few years ago to put a big photovoltaic system up on the roof so that we could raise more money to pour into the community, that cost about $65,000, something like that, that we raised up front. And we raised it from the people of the congregation as well as the community. We had a lot of community involvement to get that put up there. It was awesome. Now, here's the thing. One night, I hadn't done a fundraiser like that myself. So I went out in my garage one night just totally worried about it. Anxious, like, what have I gotten myself into? What happens if I fail? All that stuff. Doesn't matter if it breaks or not. And so you know what I did is I told this story before, but I was thinking back to that Old Testament story where I forget which king it was, but prophet goes to the king and says, hey, if you want to defeat Aram, you know, take your arrows and hit him against the wall or against the window. I don't remember exactly. But he hits him like 3 times and then he stops. And the prophet's like, why did you stop it 3 times? Now you're only going to beat him 3 times. You should have kept going and then you would have completely defeated them. So I went out to my garage. I took these 4 arrows and I just start hitting on this cardboard box. Okay. And I'm like, every single time I hit that is going to be a dollar I'm trusting for. And I sat there for like 3.5 hours hitting that box. Because in my head, you know, I'm a numbers guy. My friends used to call me data. So in my head, I'm doing the math. I'm like, okay, if I hit, this is about how many hits I'm getting in 1 minute. And if I do this many times, and I'm figuring out the math in my head. And you know what? We got it. We got it. To show that you have the faith for it, though, doesn't mean you have to go out and do, like, there's not a parameter on this. Like, you know what? I went into my garage and I'm like, hey, I'm worried, I'm scared, but you know what? I believe that this can happen. I believe that different things have happened. I'm going to hit in faith for every single dollar. That's my action with faith. Okay? That's the taking the word that was planted in you and working it out, okay? It's literally a workout. James continues in 2:20, can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. Interesting that that's the word that comes back to, that Paul's instructing. He's like, work to complete this. All right? He's doing the work. He's made the promise to complete it. You know what? But agree with him for your own life, for your own faith. I mean, isn't it a great feeling if you're like, you know what? God is totally in charge of my faith because I've given everything to him. It's hard to even think that because you know what it takes to work, like the discipline involved. And to sit there to be present. I have this thought that, not necessarily that I'm a bad friend a lot of times, but sometimes I feel like I'm not a very present friend because I get caught up in all the busyness of my life and I don't make a lot of time for my friends sometimes. If I want relationship with God, I have to make time for that. If I want relationship with my friends, I have to make time for that. If I want to see something happen in my life, I have to make time for that. I have to take that word and be like, you know what? If God is speaking to me, like, do you know how much of a gift it is just that he's speaking to you? What do you do with that? If God himself is speaking to me, I should probably do something with that. In fact, I really want to do something with that and see what that might turn into. A little bit of yeast works through the whole dough. To work out your salvation with fear and trembling is to say, yes, I agree with the saving work of God in my life. And I will humbly receive it by doing what you say, being encouraged by, you know, I was deeply challenged this week when somebody gave me an encouragement. And I was like, I really appreciate it. And this person said to me, I know you appreciate it, but can you let it sink? Can you let it sink? Can I ask you, what does the Lord say to you that you just won't let sink? Because, again, it's the saving work of God coming to say it to you. The saving work of God, that's redeeming you, that's giving you life, that's restoring you. Why should we have any opposition to that? Do you see the possibility of what could happen in your own heart and in your own life from that? Think about whatever might hurt you in this moment or struggle you might have. Like, the saving work of God is not surprised by that. Like, Jesus wants to speak to you. I'm not going to tell you what he does and does not want to do. That's between you and him. But I promise you it's good because I can say that about him. Philippians 2:13, okay? Immediately following up on this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him, okay? He's not just giving you the courage and all that stuff to make it happen. He's giving you the want to do what pleases him, the want to, all right? Here, you want proof? Think about times where you've been in like a hard season of your life and you feel like, you know, gosh, I just really need to come back to God, or I really need to come back to this or come back to that. You feel drawn back to him. Okay? He's giving you the desire to come back to him. Do you see that? You're literally feeling it when you're like, oh, I should come back to him, or like, oh, I should go back to church, or I should do this, I should do that. He's literally giving you the desire to come back to him. You already have proof that he's working and he's doing exactly what he told you he'd do at that moment, before he's even done anything to heal you. And is that encouraging? Yes, God is committed to me. Can we all say it together? God is committed to me. I'll invite the worship team to come back up. Please. So in continuing in Philippians 2:14 through 16, so he's like, continue to work out your salvation. Again, work it. Take what he's saying. Work it and work it and work it and keep learning. Keep growing with him. What? Until you completely trust him. Until you completely trust him. Because he's still doing the good works, whether you trust him or not, right? That didn't change. He's still doing the good works to you. He's still reaching out to you. He still chose you first, all right? He still loved you first. So he's still doing all of that. So what's he bringing to completion? What's happening in you? All right, what's happening in you, between you and him? And so it says in Philippians 2, 14 through 16, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. So this like 2013, I think, I was, I know I've told this story before, but I was driving in my truck. I don't know what else you'd drive in, I guess. Driving in my truck, I was going around. I was way too busy at work. I've completely overcommitted, horribly. And then, of course, on top of that, I had this really big project that was just a nightmare. And Kristen was pregnant and with Emmett, and it was just like, there was a lot going on. And I remember just getting so stressed out, like to the point where I'm just like, just nervously shaking, like I drank too much coffee all the time. Driving in my truck, and I'm going towards this job, and it's so weighty that I'm crying in my truck, And I'm like, Lord, will you just tell me who I am to you? Will you just tell me who I am to you? And without like a moment's hesitation, I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, you are my shining star. And you know how I responded? I'm like, that's kind of cheesy. It's horrible. That's not reverence, okay? it's like you are my shining star. I was like, well, that's a little cheesy, but okay, I'm glad. Like, I'm just comforted by the fact that you talked back to me. So like 2 days later or something like that, I'm reading actually in this exact verse, and in the NIV and the study Bible that I have, it says, you will be seen as shining stars as you hold out the word of life to others. That's when it sank in, right? Gosh, I just didn't. This is what it's talking about, to work out your salvation, like to agree with that saving work. He told me, and I didn't get it. You know, and then I'm in my quiet time a few days later or whatever, and it's like, oh, I got it. You know what? Whether it breaks or not, will you trust enough to let go and make your faith complete? Agree with the work he's doing. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. The burden is on him, really. But you know what? You have responsibility in this. You have responsibility in this. To say, you know what? I'll welcome that into my life. You want to show me kindness? Okay. Is it going to have to get past all of the walls that I have? Yes. There's a point. Father, I pray that each person in this room, in the place where you are speaking to them, whether they're aware that your words are meeting them where they're at or not, whether they're aware that you're speaking to them, whether they can see it, whether they can't see it, I pray that they would see it and receive it. And they would work with it, Lord. They would work with it, just like that yeast in the dough. They'd let it go and let it go and let it go and keep working it and keep working it until it moves all through their lives. And there's no place left untouched. There's no place left unabandoned to you, because they've learned to trust one time after another. And they'd have the patience to know that it takes all of their lives so that the enemy can't say, you blew it, and it's off. Please let him receive that with the kindness and grace that you have for him this morning that was new every day. Those compassions that are new every day, just for us. In your name, Lord, amen.